What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's August 11th, 2026. We're recording this on Monday, August 10th at about 1:20 p.m. on the West Coast. I'm Trey, and that's Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Good, man. I've been, so you remember a while ago, I've been workshopping this theory, basically, that the Trump presidency exists inside the Taylor Sheridan cinematic universe.
Okay, that kind of checks out. So it's basically like a chicken or egg thing, though.
But I really do like for example, I feel like they get like the ideas about Western land management from Yellowstone, and like oil and gas policy comes from like Billy Bob Thornton monologues on Land Man, right? Sicario was the drug war, and the foreign policy is Special Ops Lioness. All right, now to give you an example of what I'm talking about, Special Ops Lioness season 2, which aired in the fall of 2024, right before Trump took office for his second term. In that season, what they did was they bombed drug cartels and invaded Iran. See where I'm going here? Mm-hmm. So I think Trump thinks he's the president on Special Ops Lioness, is what I'm saying.
Right.
So I thought season 3 just started, and it's about like it involves the Russia-Ukraine war and AI drone swarms. So expect to hear a lot more about AI drone swarms in the recent future. And also Trump to for more firmly pick a side. You know, he switches sides rhetorically between Ukraine and Russia like the week. But depending on whatever Taylor Sheridan decides the bad guy is in that, I feel like we're going to stick with. So
Taylor Sheridan further cementing his place as the most important man alive.
Yeah, I feel like
the most important white man alive.
I can't be the only person in the world to have noticed this. So I feel like every spy agency in the world is trying to honeypot Taylor Sheridan at present.
Right.
to try to figure out how to manipulate Trump into whatever war they want him in. Anyway, so I wanted to talk about the Iran war for a second, which is still somehow fucking going on. Trump, there's a Wall Street Journal piece over the weekend about basically how Trump is trying to surrender but cannot figure out how to do it.
Right.
So let me quote here. Trump has privately been floating to aides that he'd declare victory and walk away from the Iran war without a nuclear deal if Tehran fully opened the strait. So if they quote, if they go back to the status quo, we will forget the reason we started the war. Do you know, like the whole point, like on the nuclear concerns, Trump has told senior aides privately in recent weeks that Tehran is likely unable to revive its nuclear work during his presidency after the U.S. destroyed 3 nuclear sites last year.
Right.
But brother in Christ, the whole reason we bombed them in February was because we didn't destroy them last year, right?
I know, but weren't we saying in February, but I thought we took it out already. Do you know what I mean? Like even in February when we went back, I thought you said we had taken care of this already, and now you're saying that we haven't, and now they're saying that we did again and whatever else. Like, it's never really made any sense from the very beginning, I feel like.
But he's saying that he accomplished it last year before he bombed them again and earlier this year to redo the same thing that he already did. Like, it's fucking, like, it's like, geez.
Right.
But, so basically the dynamic of the negotiations right now is Trump keeps agreeing to shit, and then Iran jacks up the cost more. He's agreed to give them basically, I think, $100 billion a year to pay to use the Strait of Hormuz. But then they're like, okay, we have to abandon all your Middle Eastern military bases. And he's like, okay, I'll do most of them. And now they're like, we want war reparations. And today he got on Truth Social and was like, I'm not paying you war reparations. You're paying me war reparations. With what? We fucking sanctioned them. Like, right. We have their money. So I just, yeah.
I mean, it's really like he illustrated for them how much like leverage and power they have. Like, they didn't even really fully understand it.
No.
And he, in doing this totally pointless shit in the first place, has like outlined that for them. And now they're, you know, they're exploiting it or trying to, you know, utilize it as best they can. So it's just, I don't know. A quagmire's quagmire, this situation.
And for most Americans, the cost is like pretty, like, this is just a thing happening on TV, right? Except for the handful of Americans who died or the people who have like traumatic brain injuries are probably numbered in the thousands over there. We're lying about them, right? From like concussions from blasts. So, but like, we just got to hope the gas prices, I guess, get high enough that he'll just stop doing this and won't start World War III in full. Because like I saw this story in the Washington Post the other day. I got this video story about people. There's a gas station in upstate New York who's offering people 20% discounts if they'll dance while the cashier records a TikTok.
Uh-huh.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Have some fucking dignity, man.
Bro, this is the type of thing that's like, I'd walk to fucking Pennsylvania before I dance for you to give me the fucking the gas to drive there or whatever. Like, it ain't how are, no way.
How are the history books going to fucking, like, describe this? Because it's gonna be like, if you, like, right now somebody in around outside of Buffalo is like, Dad, why was Mom shaking her ass on the internet? All my friends at school are making fun of me. And the dad's got to be like, well, in 632 AD, the Shias and Sunnis split off after the death of the Prophet Muhammad. And now this is going to be a long fucking story. Oh, God damn it. I just, like, this fucking, anyway. So we're already escalating over to the next disaster. Trump really wants to, he just really wants to pivot to Greenland. And he hasn't forgotten about this. And this is a news story out of Greenland from a couple days ago. There's an American oil company named Greenland Energy, which is in, not in Greenland, is founded in Texas just last year. So you want to get what kind of plans are going on. It's a company connected to Trump. And I bet if you, it's connected to Trump through a guy named Larry Swetz. You knew a guy named Larry Swetz would be involved in this, right? He's a Florida guy who's one of the big investors in Greenland Energy, and he's like a Mar-a-Lago hanger-on, right? So that's how he's fucking connected to Trump. Although if you bet, if you got a hold of the real financials, I bet Don Jr. has like a 30% stake. So they are like just full on like going to Greenland to drill with no permission,
right?
So Greenland's the government last week issued a, quote, strong warning that no approval had been granted to land their equipment. Quote, all future logistical matters must be advised and approved by the Mineral Resources Authority before they are carried out. And Trump responded by posting this meme on Truth Social. This is how he responded to the official fucking government of Greenland. Is him...
He's peering ominously over the mountains into Greenland.
Yeah. Over at the, those look like, I mean, I guess, I don't know what housing looks like. Those look like pure like Danish fjords or whatever, but I don't know, whatever. So they had a, there's a meeting in this like rural peninsula where they're going to be drilling hypothetically. And they lied to locals that they had permission to be there and they've already started unloading equipment. And here's the plot twist here. Greenland Energy has retained Phil McGraw, better known as Dr. Phil, a prominent former right-wing chat show host who served on Trump's Religious Freedom Commission, to make a documentary series that will, quote, capture the mission of these modern-day wildcatters. So I am imploring the government of Denmark to send soldiers to seize Dr. Phil. You must do this.
But they're like, why would they want Dr. Phil? You know, they're like, well, then we have to have Dr. Phil. We got to listen to him talk.
I feel like we need to be shaken out of our stupor for how dangerous and dumb this all is. And I feel like Dr. Phil being forced at gunpoint to read a statement denouncing Donald Trump on TV would sort of hammer the point home while he's trying to blink in Morse code some message to Trump. So it's just like, there's way more Dr. Phil involved in the fucking late stages of this
the
country
end of
than
time.
I thought.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know. I agree.
Yeah. Fuck Oprah.
Yeah, I know. Man, the horror she's unleashed upon the world. Uh-huh. All right. Well, let's go ahead and dive further into it. We got a lot of show for you today. And so we're going to go ahead and kick it off with, of course, the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Today's DD, anyone who won't surrender their family farm so some dickhead can make dog podcast.
Today's guest ran from Dinosaur, one of the famous human co-stars. Please welcome Starbuck from the end of Oak Street. Thanks, guys. It's nice to finally speak.
All right, that's enough of that. I fucking hate this shit so much, man. I can't stand. So we're talking about data centers. I just want to put like everything up. Like, the earphones are not on the dog's ears. They're on their jaws.
Yeah, right. That's not where dogs' ears are.
No.
Yeah.
So I'm fucking losing it. I just wanted to talk about data centers today for a little bit because, like, this is what the economy is now, is Warner Brothers making dog podcasts promote some movie that nobody's going to watch.
Yeah.
You're making
me not want to watch it now, but we were probably going to watch that movie. But this is pissing me off. It's got dinosaurs in it, Mark. I've got four teenage boys. But anyway, this is inexcusable. I mean, you know, to be fair, there's nowhere in the Constitution. Show me where in the Constitution it says a virtual dog can have a podcast.
It's not because what if Air Bud became the liberal Joe Rogan?
It's Air Bud. Yeah, exactly. It's like Air Bud for the new media age. They revived the Air Bud franchise and he becomes like a right-wing grifter thought leader podcaster and has to reckon with the implications of that behind the scenes later.
Oh my god. So Charlie Kirk is a good dog's name.
Yeah, so it's like the ominous tagline. You have to understand somehow it's from the perspective of the deep state, but it's who's a good boy. That's what it is. The deep state. Dog Joe Rogan, who's a good boy.
Who's a good boy could be Flock's company motto, honestly. Yeah. So I wanted to to get into this, sometimes I think I'm the, like, all of us live in algorithmically driven bubbles, right? Your internet, your news feeds show you whatever makes you mad. I see a lot of AI stuff and Flock stuff, right? Like, I asked you guys last week, are you seeing a lot of, like, Flock rebellion stuff? Because I wanted to get a gauge on whether, because, like, every third video I'm served on social media platforms is a tutorial on how to tear down Flock cameras.
To be fair, that you said that came up because I sent you a screenshot from one of my like back home Discord chats where one of my like rural Tennessee buddies was trying to convince all the other old boys in the Discord chat to tear down Flock cameras with him. He had found like LED sort of Iron Man mask things that he was like, we could all wear these and it'd be super cool. You know, you wear these for your vigilantism as you tear down that people were skeptical. They weren't really going with it. But anyway, I sent you that, and that's when you were like, you know, I see this shit all the time. I mean, no, dude, I mostly see like
alien Reddit stuff.
Yeah, and like fusion cake videos and things like that. Mm. You know,
so because I'm predisposed to hate AI, but like I make my living as a writer. So either way, if AI doesn't work, it's insulting to me to tell me that a robot can do my fucking job, replace me as a human being. But if it does work, my life's ruined. So either way, it's bad, right? So like I'm self-aware enough to know that. So I fucking hate data centers, right? But then I wonder, like, does anybody else give a shit? So I want to talk about, like, my home county. When I was home for my grandma's funeral a month ago, I saw signs saying, like, say no to data link. It's to Valley Link, like, opposed to Valley Link or whatever. I was like, okay, this is interesting. What's going on? Valley Link is a transmission line proposal that is getting a lot of pushback in Central Virginia. The basic idea is to build a transmission line, 200-foot tall towers, 200-foot wide, like 150-foot tall or whatever, across 9 counties, so they can feed power to northern from Western Virginia to Northern Virginia, basically. And the data centers made more than half of the demand for this new power, and it is not fucking going over well, which I find encouraging because it agrees with my potential priors, but also it was just interesting to see that out in the real world. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So my home county is Buckingham. The idea, in 8 out of 9 counties that it passed, that is supposed to go through, it passed resolutions opposing it, which is not really that important because it's a state level decision, but it does show some local pushback. And back in May, there was a Board of Supervisors meeting in Buckingham. And to give you a vibe, I want to quote here from a woman named Amy Crawford, who owns a flower farm. She said, quote, "This line brings zero benefit to our community. It doesn't create jobs or revenue. It doesn't improve anything for us. Dominion and Valley Link plan to rape and steal our land because they think we're stupid and not paying attention. They think we and our land are disposable, and they intend for us to be collateral damage and building a monstrous, massive extension cord running through rural Virginia in service to billionaires and their data centers in Northern Virginia." She's starting a revolution? Where do I sign up? So what Buckingham did was they approved $250,000 to fight the project in legal fees to get lawyers to basically sue the state and the power company. And I was like, where did they get the money for all these legal fees? Solar farms. My county has, like, I did, like, a lot of stuff's changed since I left, I guess. So anyway, the people are running this project are being very coy about using eminent domain to just take people's fucking property, not, you know, buy it at gunpoint, basically. And they're saying we prefer voluntary sales and eminent domain will be a last resort.
Mm-hmm.
Last resort means you're going to do it.
Going to do it, right. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I feel like that's pretty deliberately implied. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, listen, we want to not take everything you own, but Yeah. If we have to do it.
We want you to not put up a fight, but we're going to take your fucking land.
Right. And if you make us do that, that would be unfortunate, and that would make us a little sad. So hopefully you don't make us do that, and you just let us do that instead.
Yeah, just give it to us. Yeah, don't make us take it. Give it to us.
Yeah.
Right? Let us, you know we have the gun in our pocket. Don't make us take it out and point it at you.
Right.
Right? So, like, I know, like, I'm not naive, not, like, NIMBYism or whatever, like the same instinct that not least to not letting, like not having anything new in your community. It's not always a good thing. This is also what segregation was. Right. So like, I don't think, and also I'm not always opposed to eminent domain. If you're going to build a fucking church, like a school or a hospital or something, we at least debate about where the best place to put it is. But you're taking you're making a power transmission line so people can make dog podcasts.
Right.
And I don't think you should be able to take fucking people's land to do that. That's your problem. You find your own power source, which they're going to make. They're making their nuclear reactors. It's another fucking problem. We'll talk about that another day. So, but this is happening all over the country. And this is a story from CBS Mornings on a fight happening in Georgia that aired a couple weeks ago.
House that fed your family. When you talk about what being on this property means to you.
Yeah.
Right? It's y'all's.
It's ours. It's ours. It's my mom's. It's mine. It's my daughter's. It's our family. We belong here.
But Ansley Brown's childhood home likely won't be here much longer. That's because the state's largest utility, Georgia Power, says it needs the area to make way for a 35-mile-long transmission line.
Georgia Power has been
you
here.
Can cut it back. So 80% of the power for the 80% of the demand for this new power line comes from artificial intelligence. And this is according to the power company. The power company here is like being made to be the bad guy, but like they're just the middleman here. Of course, mm-hmm. they want to sell more electricity, but they're not ones creating demand for their own product.
Right.
And the gun against everyone's head here, the general public's is, if you don't let us build more capacity to power the data centers, they're not going to stop sucking up electricity. It just means that you will suffer brownouts and power shortages. Right?
Right.
So Georgia Power won't even say who the real customers are, who the data centers are, because they say that the customer info is private. I want to remind you, they're taking these people's lands with eminent domain. Eminent domain is for quote unquote public use, but they won't even say who the people are who are taking the fucking land ultimately.
Right. I mean, yeah, are you even supposed to be able to use eminent domain for something like this? I get that, like, a utility company, I mean, I guess the middleman makes it kind of a gray area or whatever, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's like the utility company, it's like a public utility or whatever, but it's servicing some shadowy corporation that they won't even tell you who it is.
Bro, when I lived in Texas, they just got done using eminent domain to knock down a bunch of poor black and brown people's houses to build a new stadium for the Texas Rangers.
Right.
They claimed it was to cause crime and blight, but it was taking poor people's houses. Right. Yeah. So to stop crime and blight, sorry. But like, so you can, people use it for private projects all the time. Like when I say like eminent domain in theory is necessary for stuff, but like I know that like a lot of public highways were coincidentally put through black neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like, but anyway, I find it gross when somebody's private profit. That feels like something you should do on your own without the government sending a armed agent to the state to seize other people's property. Right. So I just want to point out here, like I want to play this next video and then talk about part of the irony of what these data companies and AI companies have unleashed, if you got this map.
We never want to do.
To us, it's theft. It's literally a billion-dollar company stealing land from smaller people, people who can't fight back. We don't have the money to fight Georgia Power.
So that's why a few months ago, Ansley took her story to TikTok.
My childhood home is being taken by Georgia Power.
Her videos went viral, and she began sharing stories of others in similar situations, like Cynthia Van Epps.
What is it taking from her? Look behind me. It's taking this entire backyard, the pool and everything.
So that girl's TikTok went viral. All right, they're saying, right? Which means it got up-boosted by an algorithm.
Right. It's kind of weird.
Is it? Because people are drawn to rage bait, right?
Right.
So their own product, that video went viral physically inside a fucking data center.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I just find this like deeply ironic. Like the data company, these AI companies are saying that a lot of the opposition to this, they first of all, sometimes they claim it's inorganic. Like it's a, we've talked about before, but they say it's a Chinese psyop, right? But they, but also like when they're saying it's like viral misinformation, and I'm like, that's hilarious to me, because what you're saying is like this. A lot of people is like they're misinformed about this because it's information they see that's gone viral. Well, what goes viral? How is it being spread? Well, the algorithms push up stuff that drives people crazy. That's what's in the data center. You've created your own fucking Frankenstein, and you want more electricity. Use them in the domain to fucking make more Frankensteins. But you're mad about the one time it's affecting you,
right?
I just find that.
No, I mean, all they do is push out misinformation. It's like there's been whole congressional hearings and stuff about the misinformation and the damage it's caused to society, and they've, you know, shrugged it all off as much as possible. But now they're using the same argument to, you know, diminish the backlash against, you know, the AI data centers and whatnot when it's the same thing. Well, it's not the same thing, though, right? Is it? I mean, because it's like, this shit, that girl, that wasn't misinformation, what that girl was saying.
No, they're taking her land. They're literally taking it. But they're saying, like, this stuff about like water use is exaggerated, that the environmental impact is misunderstood because you're not comparing it to other industrial like build outs. You're comparing it to nothing being there, right? All that's accurate, but I still don't like, I don't like the business. I don't care. Like that doesn't move me, right? But I also know that some communities have seen a ton of financial benefits from putting a data center and getting free tax money. You know, we talked about that before, but with the public facing stuff, it's not just the dog podcast. We mentioned Flock earlier. Not everything people hate about AI is just because of misinformation. Some of it's because of fucking information, right? We've got to talk about Flock soon, I guess, because like the amount of scandals I've seen from cops being caught using it to stalk their ex-wives is like through the roof. Some like 50 people have been arrested for it. So if 50 cops have been arrested and fired for it, that means 5 million cops have done it.
Yeah.
So, so one of the main investors in Flock when it started up was Andreessen Horowitz, Mark Andreessen's company. Mark Andreessen Horowitz is also invested in a company, Israeli startup called Toka. Have you heard of Toka, Trey?
Mm-mm.
Toka, they're a defense contractor. What they do is hack into surveillance footage, CCTV footage, and change it. Can you think of a non-malevolent reason to change surveillance footage?
Yeah, right. That's their like stated purpose as a company.
Yeah.
In a like a wartime setting, what do they say that's for? What are they?
Governments,
right?
Like, so if you want to frame people for crimes, you like the government, you can just do it now.
I mean, like you said, what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Normally, there's at least some kind of like
stated
benign purpose that they'll lie about. But what is it even supposed to be?
I would have thought we would have got a data center moratorium just based upon Jeffrey Epstein's emails. Because pretty much every fucking AI company, their origin story is Jeffrey emailing somebody either offer for financing or a startup idea for a company. One of the co-founders of Toka is Ehud Barak, who's a former prime minister of Israel, who was like lived with Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. Like Barak got into AI because Epstein CC'd him on an email Palantir guy, what can't I think of it? Peter Thiel, right? So like, why can we say, hold on, let's slow down for this for a second. The world's most evil people are all in the origin stories for all these fucking companies with no stated good purposes. Can we not give them our farms?
Right.
Can we? I don't know. So, and also like, why should we trust these people? Mark Zuckerberg last week wrote an entire set where he writes these like long like manifestos about like his, what's going on in his brain every now and then. He wrote one about data centers and the, it was partly about data centers and the opposition to it. He tried to push back against it by saying, in Zuckerberg's future, they're powered by power infrastructure that Meta owns itself, which is not the case currently. And they create lots of high-paying, long-lasting jobs, which is also not the case currently, right? So you just got to trust him going forward. This is how it's going to work out for you if you give him everything, right? Here's another story about Mark Zuckerberg in the last few days. A cruise ship helped stranded skiff and crew in Southeast Alaska as Zuckerberg yacht stands by. What happened was this fucking ship was stranded, sent out a distress call. Mark Zuckerberg's yacht was the closest ship. They ignored it. They basically did new boat. Who's this?
Yeah.
Well, they
stands by. I don't know that. Like that almost implies that you know, like,
right. It's a poorly written headline. They didn't want, they didn't want to label
that
one of the,
feels like they implies like they were there in case they were needed or something. Do you know what I mean? They were standing by waiting to see if the rescue attempt failed so they could swoop in and help out, as opposed to just
not picking up the radio,
ghosting them and not do. Yeah. Right.
Right. So my, like literally not helping, the obligation to help your fellow sailors or stranded at sea is like one of the world's oldest. It's Zeus's law.
Right.
Like, it's like, and they're just like, nope, not helping them. Another story about these AI dipshits recently. Elon Musk company is currently suing the state of Minnesota because they passed a law that forbids you using AI to make nudes of people without their consent. He's suing to stop a law from going into place so that XAI, so Grok, can keep making child pornography of your children.
Right.
But we're supposed to trust him to how they're going to handle the payouts for data centers, right? And what they're going to do with them. One guy wants to let you drown. The other one demands the right to make nude, naked pictures of you and your kids. And the main public-facing use case remains dog podcasts, child porn, and tyranny. The U.S. economy is now just a $1 trillion death cult, which aims to eliminate jobs, privacy, art, relationships, emotions, bodies, and physical places. And they're shocked that people fucking hate their guts and won't give up their land for it.
Right. Who doesn't like dog podcasts? Did you see the dogs? Did you see how cute the dog was? It's like you people don't even fucking care.
A fake interview with a fake dog who's voiced by, I don't know, it doesn't matter. So I wanted to, as we're going to pivot to talking about election stuff, I wanted to mention the story real quickly. Sid Miller, who's the longtime agricultural commissioner in Texas, he said Thursday that Republicans are going to lose some statewide elections this year because of data centers, which has become a heated issue for Texas across the state. In an interview with the Texas Tribune, Miller also called out Governor Greg Abbott for what he says is inaction on data center development in Texas. The lame duck Republican said data centers are not a partisan issue, but declined to say who he might vote for come November. I haven't committed to anybody, Miller said. There's some Republicans I may have to leave blank. I just can't do it. This is not, again, this is an elected Republican. I remember him from when I lived in Texas. This is a dude who fucking sleeps in a cowboy hat, basically.
Mm-hmm.
His big issue when I lived there was legalizing the exportation of horse meat.
Yeehaw.
Leaving
a lot of money on the table, Mark. Yeah, well, yeah. Just let that horse meat just lay around. Let him die and then not eat them. That's stupid.
Yeah.
I sound like a smart ass, but I know that's one of those things. It's like really weird, I feel like, to Americans, and they find out that a ton of other countries just eat horse the way that we eat cows or whatever. And it's like, I mean, you know, why not? It's all kind of arbitrary, I feel like.
if I remember right, what he was trying to, there had been like a horse butchering like meatpacking plant in Texas that was exporting to France, was like their business model. And there was an effort to make, they had made that illegal, sort of by accident, because some animal rights activists, and they're basically like, well, nobody cared, these aren't horses that are people's pets. Right. Like, anyway, I'm a person who eats meat, so I can't really come up with an intellectual
justification. These are dumb old meat horses.
Yeah,
these are not like pretty trained horses that a little girl got for her 13th birthday.
Yeah,
the French would eat those too. No, we sell those. Are the French would pay top dollar to eat a little girl's horse, a birthday horse? But
these are like it's like a lobster tank of horses, and like I don't want the old plow horse. Give me the one with the ribbon and tear.
French people ate especially the horses that were someone's pet.
So yeah, Republicans in Texas, we're about to talk about like some election stuff, but I just want to point out that the Republicans might have lost an elected Republican official who in 2011 wrote a bill to allow hunters to shoot hogs from helicopters.
Hell yeah. I like this guy. This guy sounds like a real American to me.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back after this. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You heard me talk about BetterHelp over the years many, many times, but I don't think what we've ever done is talk about what folks say about BetterHelp once they've used it. So here's what I would tell you to go do if you'd like to learn more about that. Just go to BetterHelp.com/reviews, okay? They update it every day. Hundreds of people writing in all the time about what the service has done for them and their lives and their mental well-being. The number that gets my attention is this one. BetterHelp's average live therapy session rating is 4.9 out of 5 stars. Hard to get much better than that. And if you're wondering about the sample size, well, guess what? They have more than 1.7 million client session reviews. So pretty healthy indeed, the sample size there. Over 6 million people have used BetterHelp worldwide. That's a lot of people deciding to say something out loud and talk to somebody. Every therapist they have has at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience, plus all the required education, training, and certifications across a whole host of specialties. Getting started has never been less complicated. With BetterHelp, you just answer a few questions, get matched with somebody based on what you actually need in your life. And if you don't feel like the fit is right for you, you can switch anytime you want to. No risk at all. No hard feelings. Simple as that. So go see those reviews. See what stands out to you. And you decide if BetterHelp is right for you. I think you might find that it is. Visit BetterHelp.com/SKEWS. That's BetterHelp.com/SKEWS. BetterHelp.com/SKEWS. BetterHelp. Help yourself. This episode is sponsored by Quince. August is that stretch of the year where you can feel fall coming on, but it ain't here yet. No, still pretty hot. Last chance to get your house in order before the school, back to school rush, all that stuff, you know, and you got to start with the closet. You want to look good, right? That's how I ended up hooked on Quince. I'm not sartorially inclined generally over the course of my life, but I know that many clothes don't hit for me when I put them on, but Quince could not be more opposite. As soon as you put it on, you feel it. A, it's comfortable, which is what I've been a slovenly fella for most of my life. You look for comfort first, but most of the time, comfort doesn't go with a good look. But that's the magic of Quince. It's comfortable, but also looks good on you, fits right in all the right places. You know what I'm saying? I got this green t-shirt, like a t-shirt, I know, but trust me, their t-shirts are on another level. They got organic cotton tees over there. Put it on for the first time, walked out of the bedroom. My wife was like, "Where'd you get that shirt?" She never says those things to me, which, you know, she's fine. We've been together a long time, but I'm just saying I could tell that it was doing its job and it feels good doing it. I love my Quince wear, and I got even more items from them on the way right now because I've become something of a devotee in the short time that I have been working with Quince. Their whole philosophy is based on the idea we need fewer but better pieces of clothing, premium materials that are made to last, stuff you end up reaching for over and over without having to think about it. At Quince, they specialize in everyday staples that pull their weight, you know, like the ultra soft organic cotton tees I told you about, but also on the higher end, they got premium Mongolian cashmere sweaters and everything in between. They got regular workday stuff and stuff that works if you get drug out to dinner that night as well. If you're hanging on to some worn out basics you've had for years, Quince will make it easy to fix that for you. Premium denim and tailored chinos start at just $60 with the fit and structure and the fabric you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything they got at Quince runs 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you pay for quality and not for some fancy logo. Right? It's not just clothes, by the way. Quince has turned into a go-to for hotel quality bedding and bath stuff, cookware, travel gear, whatever you need for your day-to-day life. You can upgrade your everyday at Quince. So download the Quince app for app exclusive offers, or you can go to quince.com/skew, S-K-E-W. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns, now available in Canada and the UK as well. That's Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/S-K-E-W, skew. Quince.com/skew. Upgrade your wardrobe with Quince. Weekly Skews is brought to you by ZBiotics. You know, I'm always on the road, which means I spend Friday and Saturday nights out and out at the comedy club doing the thing. Sunday mornings flying back across the country, be home with my wife and kids, you know, burning the midnight oil and doing the dad stuff all at the same time. It can be tough, you know, especially if you like to partake with a libation or two like I do. But that's why I'm such a big fan of ZBiotics. It's a pre-alcohol that can help make your crazy weekend schedule actually work. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle those rough mornings after drinking. So if you don't know, when you drink, alcohol gets converted into this toxic byproduct in your gut, and it's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration in and of itself, which is what a lot of people think. That's actually to blame for rough days after drinking. ZBiotics pre-alcohol produces an enzyme that helps to break that troublesome byproduct down and help you feel your best the next day. So what you do is you just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, of course, as always, and you'll still feel your best tomorrow. Sure, I was skeptical when I first heard about this, but, you know, then I tried it one time and still woke up feeling like a human being the next morning, which is not something I was used to after a night of drinking. I can tell you that much, and I've been on board ever since. ZBiotics pre-alcohol works overnight, so you can have a real weekend and still show up sharp the next day. Go to ZBiotics.com/SKEW, that's S-K-E-W, and use the promo code SKEW, S-K-E-W, for 15% off. One more time, ZBiotics.com/SKEW, and use the promo code SKEW for 15% off. Okay, and we're back. Our honorable mention we've got for you for Daily Dumbass this week, Optimist. That's right, Matt. Let's see this video. This is an interview with Ty Cobb, who was on Trump's White House legal team the first time around.
If the midterms don't go Trump's way this fall, is there any world in which Todd Blanche stands up to Trump if he's asked to find some fake evidence of voter fraud? Or are we screwed now?
We're screwed.
Great.
Oh, man. That's just a snapshot of life in 2026 in Trump America. Especially the fact that the guy that delivered the
Benny Hassan,
the punchline there, whatever that guy, the guy that said, you know, the optimist in question, that he looks like a cartoon character of like an old style lawyer or whatever. That
oh yeah, he loves. He's got. If you guys are always listening, Ty Cobb, he does a handlebar mustache that curls up and like a it fully curves around. So they're talking about the Todd Blanche was just like confirmed as Trump's attorney general, and right. Trump he's formerly Trump's personal lawyer, and he's basically attorney general. Bill Cassidy was the deciding vote. Bill Cassidy, the Republican from Louisiana, who's by trade is a doctor, who was basically backed his primary opponent because he held a grudge over impeachment stuff from 2020, I think. And he's free to cast whatever vote he wanted, but he voted to confirm Blanche because Trump, I need to explain this carefully, Trump openly threatened to nominate someone more crazy and destructive to be the acting attorney general if Blanche wasn't confirmed. I've never before, I don't remember a president promising to be worse at his job as leverage to get a guy confirmed.
Age old tactic of malicious compliance or whatever, you know, but on an executive level. You know.
See, I just want to talk about the absolute farce that's going to be this fall when Trump cries voter fraud after a bunch of the worst politicians in America lose races they're aggressively trying to blow. In Michigan, for example, Mike Rogers, who's running against Abdul El Sayed, is like he was a Trump critic over election fraud stuff in 2020, and now he's pretending to believe in election fraud because 2 years ago he lost his race to Alyssa Slotkin in Michigan. Trump won Michigan. Trump, out of his ass last week, said that Mike Rogers got screwed by election fraud because he lost his race, even though Trump won the same state. So Trump is alleging that Democrats rigged Michigan for Trump but against Mike Rogers. And Mike Rogers, who's not stupid, is pretending to go along with this.
Right. Well, you know, yeah, what's he supposed to do? You got to just go with the flow if you're in Trump land. I mean, it's not like anybody's going to like fact check that or remember it or point out that it – not anybody that, you know, would vote for him anyway. I mean –
Well, I think it's actually malpractice because like this stuff that that race specifically, you could win a few centrist Democrats who are annoyed at the proposition of Abdul El Sayed, but voter fraud stuff is a big turnoff for them. If I were him, I'd keep my fucking mouth shut about it because you might win, but anyway, he already fucked that up. But anyway, I want to talk about a few other candidates who've screwed this all up. I'm talking about Ohio and Texas mostly, but I want to first talk about this guy who just dropped out in Western North Carolina. Here's an interview TMZ did with Chuck Edwards, House Republican.
So there's a new report that came out that you gave two guns to female staffers and are under investigation. Just wanted to get your reaction to that.
I'm cooperating fully with the ethics committee.
Okay. So I'm not sure why they asked about the guns he gave to the women who work for him. Because that's kind of the least fucking interesting part about this.
But yeah, I mean, in North Carolina, that could just be a fucking birthday present for somebody that works for you or whatever, you know.
Well,
Especially if you're a Republican.
The implied context is he's been married for a long, long time, and he was pressuring his employees to have sex with him. And part of it, there's a bunch of stuff that reporters are not asking him about that's important to the story.
Right.
But anyway, at 3:30 a.m. last Wednesday, Chuck posted a statement on Twitter saying he's dropping out of the race. So you don't want a lot of attention on it because it's 3:30 a.m. So the Ethics Committee's report found that they found handwritten notes he gave to his employees, personal gifts, drinking outings, casino trips. Edwards would run a staffer a flattering poem that he read aloud while becoming teary-eyed at her office going away party. She was quitting because he's sexually harassing her. I need to put that up.
Oh, my God. No way, dude. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. She was leaving because he sexually harassed her, and on her last
day, he threw a going-away party and read her a poem.
That is insane.
There are degrees to not taking no for a fucking answer. So He told another staffer that she had, quote, written a complex chapter in my heart, end quote, shortly before she was set to leave his office in another 3-page handwritten letter. You got to see a picture of this. You want to throw this next thing up, Matt. Edwards gave the staffer a custom puzzle that when you put together revealed an image of Adam Sandler with a handwritten note inviting her to attend one of Aunt Sandler's comedy shows with him.
This guy's just an old school romantic, Mark.
He gave her like a scavenger hunt. Like, he had to put together the puzzle to see that you were being invited to go for drinks to the Adam Sandler show.
Man, it being Sandler, and I love Adam Sandler, but being Sandler too is definitely like, that's the perfect person for it to have been, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, since it's like, if it was a few years ago, like a Jeff Dunham show would have maybe landed harder, but Adam Sandler being
Jeff
the
Dunham. Yeah. The booth, what if the puppet was propositioning her for sex in the middle of the show? So during the fall of 2025 government shutdown, Chuck vacationed with the then former staffer in Las Vegas, where he arranged for flowers to be waiting in her Bellagio hotel room. The staffer told Edwards the flowers made her uncomfortable. The ethics committee wrote in its report that both staffers received numerous gifts from Edwards, including jewelry totaling over $1,000, designer purses, guns, shoes, flowers, a laptop, a cell phone, a KitchenAid mixer, a robot vacuum, vacations, tickets to performances, and one-on-one dinners.
See, I'm telling you, man, this is a guy who cares.
When you donate money to a politician, you need to know you were buying robotic vacuum cleaners for women they were trying to fuck.
Yeah.
That's the main thing you're doing. But I also want to point out that a House member going to Vegas with an aide he's sexually harassing during a government shutdown is pretty much like an embodiment of entire genre of congressman.
For sure, without a doubt. No, I know. This is like the stereotype of what, you know, like of a corrupt congressman or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just this, just whatever. Just trying to get laid and blow and fucking, you know, embezzlement and Vegas and drugs and all that shit. That's what you like. That's what they do in movies and stuff. But it was in real life.
But it was cool when Charlie Wilson did it. Charlie Wilson did it to defeat the commies. Right. So the race he's in, he's in a district in Western North Carolina, in a district that has become more competitive in recent years because it includes Asheville, which, you know, is the gay capital of Appalachia.
That's right.
So he's running against a Democrat by the name of Jamie Ager, who's has longtime roots in the region as a farmer. So it was going to be a close race anyway, but now someone else has to jump in. I think they're deciding who it is going to be as we record this today and figure out how to run a race in a competitive district in the next month. And then when whoever the new dipshit is fucking loses, they're going to say it was stolen as opposed to fumbled away, but the guy who was given Roombas to, like, these sexual harassment victims.
Mm-hmm.
We can't talk about this issue. This similar thing is happening in Ohio with Congressman Max Miller, who we talked about before. If you're not familiar, he's in a bitter custody dispute with his ex-wife. He accuses him of all kind of physical abuse. He allegedly threw boiling hot water at her and broke his 2-year-old daughter's collarbone.
Oh my God!
The context of the collarbone, it sounds like from the story like he was trying to hit his wife and accidentally broke his daughter's collarbone.
Oh, well, so, why didn't you just say that?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Kansas City Chiefs should give this guy a tryout.
The Browns are closer and probably more fitting.
Yeah,
here, but
they would do it too. Yeah, no, you're right, yeah.
So he's also been accused of domestic violence by a woman he used to date by the name of Stephanie Graham, who worked in communications in Trump's first White House. So this is not like... This is not out of the blue or random here. Also, going back to Ohio, when he first ran for office, there are people who call themselves his friends in high school who described him as, quote, very belligerent, very angry, and super misogynistic. It was during his time in high school.
It's funny to think, since you said there's people who are his friends, it's funny that the thinking that those are guys saying that are like, yeah, he's awesome. Do you know what I mean? Belligerent, yeah. Pissed off, always getting into fights, hated women. Fucking love that dude, bro.
Yeah. So it was when he was in high school, there was a story that went around about a time at a party that he pushed a female classmate through a door and down a staircase when she wouldn't let him touch her. So... Stephanie Graham.
I can't believe this guy's not a bigger name.
Yeah.
In the MAGA GOP.
Stephanie Graham just got a fresh restraining order against him last week because was this stuff circling around. He went back to get mad at her for stuff she wrote in her book 4 years ago about when they dated. Seems like I've never been more confident in my life that a guy is going to commit suicide by cop eventually. If you want to see what this guy's vibe is like, play this a brief clip of this video, Matt.
My former wife has claimed that during a custody exchange at my home that day, I assaulted her. Here's what actually happened. And I have the Ring doorbell footage that backs it up.
Okay.
She came to my...
He goes on to talk about how, like, well, she came in and made him dinner. So his basic logic is, would an abused woman make a man dinner?
For 50-plus years. And it's more than that. But I'm saying that was a hallmark of American marriages for fucking 50-something years. You know what I mean? But, like... That's why they were, never mind. Like a fucking woman fucking up the dinner she made and then getting abused is like one of the biggest stereotypes about domestic violence that there is. He's motherfucker ain't seen Raging Bull, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, bro, that's trope number one.
Right. Even like make dinner so you don't get hit is the abuser's actual logic, bro. That's the implied threat.
That's what I'm saying. It's like fucking.
So, yeah. So he also like Miller tried to like, published all these text messages and emails exchanged with his wife, along with the doorbell footage and pictures. He uploaded them to like a Dropbox to like release publicly. He accidentally included naked pictures of his 2-3-year-old daughter in there, which is bad for the custody dispute. It sounded to me like they were like bathtub photos or whatever, not the child porn or anything like that. But like it still seems like fucking you're in such a hurry to try to frame your wife for making you look ex-wife for making you look bad that you upload naked pictures of your daughter to the internet. Seems like a fucking mistake. Anyway, the district he's in, Trump won his district, the Ohio 7th, by 11 points in 2024. But Bernie Moreno, who is an important element of the story because he's the father of the ex-wife who Max Miller has allegedly been abusing. Everybody knows each other, right? So Bernie Moreno only won his district by 1 point. Max himself, who technically won by 15 points, but he was running in a three-way race, had two opponents, like Dennis Kucinich ran as an independent. Remember Dennis Kucinich?
Mm-hmm.
Former Green Party candidate for president. So somebody split the non-Max Miller vote, the left of Max Miller vote, into two chunks. And so he deadly beat the two of them combined only by 2 points. And he's refusing to drop out. Max Miller is going to lose this race because he's accused of breaking his daughter's 2-year-old daughter's fucking collarbone and throwing boiling water at his ex-wife. And his Republican senator father-in-law is taking his daughter's side and telling people not to vote for his fucking ex-son-in-law. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be told this was fraudulent. This is fraudulent.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they're going to say that about literally every race that they lose, presumably. That's why they've been setting this up as being normal this whole time.
Yeah. And I just want to point out here, there's more than one, like, there's degrees of who the assholes here are because Max Miller could have been pushed out of this race. And he's past the deadline now, so they're stuck with him. But he basically, like, held his own race hostage to force the party to support him. As much consternation as everyone went through over Graham Platner a month ago, this is exact how everybody withdrew their support from Platner, and he was pushed out of the race.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I think I and plenty of other people said at the time, it's like, you know, if Graham Platner had been like a MAGA candidate, they'd have rolled with all of that, probably. Like, that's the part
and lost and blamed fraud.
Yeah, right.
So, but nobody pushed him out here. And so, I just want to mention here what's like, this is probably, it's not the worst thing he did, but it's the most comically evil thing he did. He's accused by both Bernie Moreno and the ex-wife and the ex-wife's daughter and the state's parenting coordinator of holding his daughter's stuffed blue bunny hostage repeatedly.
Okay.
When she stays at his house, he will keep the blue bunny.
The villain from Con Air did that.
Yes!
The idea. this guy's getting his villain ideas from 90s Nicolas Cage classics.
Yeah. So basically the daughter can't sleep without her blue bunny. So to do psychological warfare against his ex-wife so she can't sleep either, he keeps the blue bunny. And he'll do that every time she fucking stays.
Yeah, no, that's real fucked up, Ben.
What a piece of shit, dude. Like, I can't, even if the other allegations are not true, this shit's in fucking writing from multiple people, including him refusing to give back the bunny.
Yeah, I thought at first you were just going to some, like, to get the girl to listen or act right or when she's act like as a punishment, you know, eat your vegetables or I'll take the bunny away for a few minutes. I'm not saying that would hit for me, but knowing that he did it as part of psychological warfare against his ex-wife because that keeps his 2-year-old daughter from being able to sleep at night, takes it into, like, you know, full-on psychopath level shit.
Yeah. I mean, like, this has all resulted in, like, I want to read this email from Emily Moreno, the ex-wife's lawyer. He sent Miller's lawyers an August 3rd email that said, quote, "Please have Max return the bunny forthwith." I just fucking fight that. What an undignified error for a fucking country. So anyway, I hate that they're Matt called it. Yep. Cyrus the virus pointed Cyrus a gun at the fucking virus. Stepmom. Yeah, thanks, Matt. So
great the thing character. About that though is Cyrus the virus was like, you know, he was fucking around. He knew that was an insane thing to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Like, this dude's dead serious about it.
You might have to be careful. If the metadata shows up, we might get fucking copyright dinged there.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel gross that this information is public, but like, this would not be in the news if Max Miller and or Bernie Moreno had both done the dignified thing for the child and fucking resigned instead of trying to hold on to a little bit of power that you have. And so anyway, everybody should have went home. And this subcontext here is Max Miller went on TV basically and did a veiled threat to out Bernie Moreno as gay. Everyone knows Bernie Moreno has a history of being on gay hookup apps. It came out in the race in 2024. No one fucking gave a shit. No one cared that he got his dick sucked in 2008 in Florida. No one cared. It's fine. Bernie, stop being afraid of your ex-son-in-law. Shit. It took him 2 years to come out against the guy. So yeah, this mess is the whole state's in trouble. Republicans around Ohio are in trouble because the Iran war, data centers are a huge issue in fucking Ohio, and now domestic abuse allegations that have wrapped up a whole family of politicians in the state. And also at the top of the race is Vivek Ramaswamy, who's the most unlikable motherfucker on the planet running for governor.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, now this is according to the Republican Party in Ohio. They say they'll now have to spend tens of millions of dollars in Ohio races they once were heavily favored to win this fall. So now let's move on to the fun one, Texas. Every statewide race in Texas is either being led by the Democrat or within the fucking margin of error polling-wise. That's governor, lieutenant governor, Tallarico versus Ken Paxton for Senate. This is because of a mix of a couple of big issues. Besides the Latino backlash in general against the way Trump's managed the deportations that a lot of them did vote for. They just didn't vote for them to be done this haphazardly and cruelly, right? And those other issues I'm talking about are legalized weed, data centers, and the generalized sleazebag corruption and incompetence that comes from 30 years of one-party rule. And
personified by Ken Paxton, right?
That's where it indispensable with Ken Paxton, who somehow makes $1 million a year from a cell phone tower that he doesn't own, and no one can explain it. Okay. So weed encapsulates all like everything but the data centers, the sleazebag corruption, but mainly the incompetence. And one thing you need to know, and I'm going to fuck up this description because it doesn't make sense and involves having like a hyper-specific knowledge of chemical composition of hemp and cannabis, okay, which I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
What happened is in 2019, the state legislature in Texas accidentally legalized weed.
Nice.
It's a House bill called 1325 that was signed into law by Governor Abbott to legalize the cultivation of industrial hemp, which they define as cannabis containing less than 0.3% of THC. This is the stuff for making rope and paper. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But also legalized possession and sale of hemp-derived CBD products without the need for a doctor's approval. So they legalized recreational CBD and industrial hemp, but they wrote the law very poorly because it also changed the legal definition of marijuana from cannabis in general to cannabis containing greater than 0.3% THC, right? Which caused the psychoactive cannabinoid Delta-8 THC to become legal when produced from legally cultivated hemp. Mm-hmm. So dispensaries could be like, what we're selling isn't marijuana. It's hemp containing a chemical compound called THCA, and lighting it on fire transformed the THCA into another compound, which is THC, right. The Delta 9 tetrahydro, whatever, to be exact. But this is all, I can't really describe this because potheads, like this kind of stuff turns potheads into fucking Robert Oppenheimer. And I can't speak this language.
Absolutely. They fucking, yeah. Equations on the whiteboard down there at the dispensary. Did Texas like lead the way on this? Because this definitely happened outside of just Texas. Like, I know this was a thing in Tennessee, and a lot of southern states followed this same trajectory where whatever, they figured out this loophole and they started selling that Delta 8 shit. I know because I had buddies back home who were buying it all the time and being like, no, it's same as weed. It's just not.
You're trying to like get around this by turning weed into like gas station dick pills as opposed to like.
Yeah, but that ain't what I meant. I remember when I still lived there, they had fake weed in gas stations that wasn't weed at all, and that shit was insane. I'm talking about the exactly what you're talking about. Delta 8 THC, that also became a thing in Tennessee and Georgia and other southern states too. And I was just wondering if like Texas sort of was the first domino and they kind of snowballed it all across the South or whatever.
See, this is, I think what we're describing in Texas is closer to real weed than what you're describing. But like, but I don't know for sure.
I think it's the same thing. I mean, that's what they told me. I don't know. I don't live there anymore, but that's what they said. Cause I thought it also was the fake shit. And they were like, no, no, it's basically just real weed. It's just some loophole shit.
So anyway, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. So when you think about it, like Texas is a weird state governmentally, everybody knows who Greg Abbott is because he's the governor, right? But reality in Texas is, for the most part, the lieutenant governor is a more powerful figure. Lieutenant governor oversees the state legislature. The governor can sign and veto bills and oversee executions. But like, but the standard to override a veto is very low, so it's really lieutenant governor who runs the legislature in its entirety. That's because of the legacy of the Civil War. After the Civil War, the federal government was appointing governors. So what Texas did to get around it was rewrite the state constitution to make the governor weak, the lieutenant governor the one actually in control. Right. So here's Dan Patrick. Dan Patrick is a committed believer in not weed. He fucking hates weed. He thinks it's the devil's lettuce. He sounds like he's from the 1950s when he talks about it. And I want to play this video of him.
We have no idea who's making this product. Are they terrorists? Is this a terrorist money laundering scheme in Texas? Is it a cartel?
Has anyone said that they're not terrorists?
Yeah. So is ISIS making weed gummies, Trey? Who knows? We got
to
go down the business.
Who's to say they're not? Not you. You don't know they're not.
So Patrick has been orchestrating a fight on various fronts to make weed illegal again. And he finally succeeded a couple months ago when the Texas Supreme Court decision reversed an injunction that basically said, I think most hemp is weed again. This is all very fucking confusing and stupid, which is kind of the point why everyone's so fucking mad about it. Cannabis experts say the ban, which went into effect July 31st, could remove more than half the THC products off some store shelves. Let me quote here from Sarah Todd, who's the media representative for the Texas Cannabis Policy Center. It's a pretty big blow, and it's recriminalizing a lot of cannabis products that have been completely legal and allowable in the state for many years, so we're taking a step backwards towards prohibition. As of July 31st, possession of less than 1 gram is now a state jail felony punishable by up to 2 years in prison. So it's gone from being perfectly legal to 2 years in prison overnight because of a court decision and poorly written laws by the Texas legislature.
Yeah, that's not going to go over well, dude. You can't put that genie back in the bong, you know?
No.
Like,
and adding the fact that one of Dan Patrick's biggest campaign donors are the booze companies, right? And we're talking about a bunch of small businesses and livelihoods. I'm not just talking about people going to jail for this shit. I'm talking about people that invested their life savings in opening businesses that have been open for 4 or 5 years that are now fucking fucked. Mm-hmm. So let me give you some numbers here. There are 3 legal medical dispensaries in Texas last time I could find number 4. Recreational marijuana has technically always been illegal. This third thing's in a new category. But so while there are 3 legal medical dispensaries, this gray area they created back in 2019... depending on how you count it, there's either now 7,000 cannabis dispensaries, which is twice as many as California, or 14,000, which is 4 times as many as California.
That's crazy.
Right, because you have to be licensed in California. Right. There's no regulatory apparatus in Texas at all. They did this so fucked up by accident. So this is dumb and disorderly and bad for business and freedom. And also, it's created a huge campaign, a great campaign issue for James Tallarico running against Paxton because it makes the Republican Party look fucking corrupt and out of touch. Draconian, with a drug that a lot of people use just to sleep better and for like back injuries and shit. And one thing Tallarico is pointing out is that Mexico is right there. Making weed illegal again in Texas is a huge gift to the fucking cartels. Mm-hmm. So he gets to run as a common sense, law and order, pro small business guy.
Right, right.
And if Democrats win, I don't think it will be easy or could be across the slate, but if Democrats win the Texas governorship and the Senate seat, there's going to be a huge meltdown from people that they're outside the state that don't think it's like sounds right. It sounds like it must be corrupt or rigged or whatever because they're not following what's going on down there. I don't know what's going to happen in Texas in the fall, but the idea that it could never turn Democrat is going to be a national take that's fucking ridiculous if you pay attention to how pissed off people are on the ground there about the status quo from Republican leadership for the last 3 fucking decades.
Yeah. I mean, you used to live there. I mean, I had a bit on my last special that was about this, but it was from the perspective of like – obviously really wanting it to happen, but just being like, it feels to me like for at least the past 10 years and every like major election in Texas, there's always some new optimism about people being like, you know, Ted Cruz sucks. People like Beto. Look at these polls. You know, that could be the year. You don't know this. Could be, look at some of these polling numbers, whatever. And then every election night, Texas is just like, got you queers, yeehaw, you know, and just does the same old shit. And so it's hard for me to like buy in again with Tyler because now it's happening all over again. But don't get me wrong, this could be the year, Mark.
Again, I'm not saying it's going to happen. Cowboys, you're right. You know,
this could be the year.
Could be Cowboys. Could be the year. Yeah. I actually believe that this year. Ken was
right. I'm saying.
Ask me again September 28th, and I'll be like, exactly. Fucking want to kill myself. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you guys for watching. We appreciate it. Check me out on the road. Go to treycrowder.com and look them up. Coming tour days. Come see me. I got the Midwest coming up, Des Moines, Kansas City, Omaha, then upstate New York, Hartford, Connecticut, Eugene, Oregon, and Austin, Texas. I'll be there about a month before the election. And a bunch of other places, too, on the near future at treycrowder.com. Check out producer Matt's audio exclusive. It's on the audio feed of this show. It's called Good Skews. Good people doing good things. And finally, for this show, if you'd like to sign up on Patreon, you go to weeklyskews.com/more or search for my name on the Patreon website. And $5 a month gets you ad-free versions of every episode of the show, plus 2 full-length bonus episodes per month, which periodically contain a skew and a where we answer your questions. We're about to play around with doing that live as well and see how that goes. So check out the Patreon for the show, please. But either way, keep watching the main ones, and we'll keep doing them. We'll see you next Skews Day. That's it. Love you. Bye. Skew.